This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Do you ever feel dizzy or lightheaded and wonder whether it could be a serious health issue? Our resident doctor, Zachary Levine, is here to talk about dizziness and its many causes and to tell us when to seek medical attention and when it might just be a case of dehydration, vertigo, or something more serious involving blood flow to the brain. Before I say hi to Zach, I'm going to give the numbers out again because he is here to take your calls and your questions about this and about other medical issues. He is, after all, an emergency room doctor and can answer all kinds of questions. So the numbers, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Zach, hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Good to be here.
Okay. Dizziness.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know if it's serious or not?
Well, so the majority of people certainly experience dizziness at some point in their lives. And dizziness is it's a colloquial term. We all use it, but it can mean a number of things. So the first thing that doctors think of is, What do people mean by dizziness? Because people use it to describe vertigo. Vertigo is the feeling of spinning or moving, even if you're not moving. They use it to describe lightheadedness, which is when you feel lightheaded, like you're going to pass out. Like, for example, a lot of people have experienced it if they get up very quickly, especially if they're a bit dehydrated on a hot day. And a third category is disequilibrium. So basically, people don't feel steady on their feet. They just feel a little bit off. And the serious causes of those things are the things that involve the brain and that involve the heart, as opposed to one of the common causes of vertigo, of this feeling of moving, is the inner ear. And I'm not saying it's not serious in terms of people's lifestyle. If you're very dizzy, if you feel very severe vertigo, it can be a terrible feeling, but it's not dangerous in terms of life-threatening, as opposed to if it's a heart issue, or if it's if it's a stroke, then those things can be very serious. And those are the things we look at. So the symptoms that we worry about, if this dizziness is associated with other neurological symptoms, so severe headache, double vision, vision loss, weakness, or incoordination, then we're more concerned it involves the brain. And if it involves things like chest pain or shortness of breath, or if you just suddenly lose consciousness, like without any kind of warning, you know, it's one thing if you get up quickly and you're dehydrated and you feel dizzy and then you kind of slouch down. But if you're walking along and you suddenly lose consciousness, that's concerning that you may have an irregular heartbeat and that needs to be checked out.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question about me that's been investigated and they can't quite figure it out. It doesn't happen very often. So sometimes I feel like I'm going to faint. It happens usually in the middle of exercise, though not necessarily strenuous. Feel like I'm going to faint. I don't faint, but then I have a fast heartbeat, which usually passes very quickly.
Uh-huh. Well, it's interesting. I mean, so basically the feeling, the medical term for that is presyncope, and we've all experienced it at some point where we feel like we're going to faint. And it's a symptom of the fact that your brain is not getting enough blood supply and oxygen. And usually that means that the blood pressure has dropped. And one of the things that's interesting in your case is often the body will do what it can to make up for that fact. So in your case, it sounds like your heart is trying to increase the output to make up for the low blood pressure. So because the amount of blood that gets to the brain is a combination of blood pressure and how fast the heart is beating. So if the heart notices that the blood pressure is too low, it'll kind of speed up to try and make sure that you get enough blood to your brain, which may be why you're compensating and you don't actually end up passing out. Now, as to what's causing it, that's a whole other kettle of fish. But it definitely, you know, to me, that symptom definitely suggests that you're not getting enough blood supply to the brain, that your blood pressure is dropping. And then the question is, yes, why is it happening? Because it's more easily explained, certainly, you know, when, like I said earlier a couple of times, if you get up quickly, you're dehydrated, that sort of thing. But if you're already in mid-workout and you suddenly have it, that is more mysterious. And I can see why they've had more difficulty to figure it out, because it's nice to be able to explain these things, you know.
Could it be just dehydration?
Absolutely. That definitely contributes. And in fact, that's definitely a contributor. So we see people very frequently. People come to the emergency department after they've passed out. And we always look for a trigger. Like, we always look for, some people get it, they're dehydrated and they got up quickly. Some people get it with what we call vasovagal, but basically severe emotional stress or severe pain can cause it too. But we don't always figure it out. But one thing that certainly predisposes you is if you're relatively dehydrated. That definitely doesn't help, because your body has less reserve, and the tank is not quite full enough, and so it makes it difficult to keep your blood pressure up and get enough blood to the brain.
Okay, let's take a call from Marilyn in Toronto. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Debbie.
You're on the air, and we're listening.
Hi, Dr. Zach. I'm calling you because I do have vertigo.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of pain, horrible pain, sciatic pain. And I have a dizziness, and I need to have an operation. I have a cataract, and yes, I have a thyroid problem. I had my thyroid treated with radioactive iodine. They couldn't operate because it was so big. I would have had a big goiter hanging down. But I'm scared to have the operation, and I don't want to go blind. I can't afford the laser surgery. I know if I have the operation and they cut into my eye, something terrible happen. I'm either going to have a stroke or I'm going to have terrible things happen with infection, so I can't close my eyelids.
Yeah. I mean, Marilyn, I couldn't hear all the words, unfortunately, but I can certainly hear your concern, and I heard the fact that you're having dizziness and that you're having pain
emotional stress too.
Sorry?
Emotional stress.
Emotional stress, yeah, which you know, doesn't help anything. You know, emotional stress can worsen almost any condition.
It keeps happening.
I see. And you're concerned about is it the cataract surgery and the thyroid surgery that's concerning you?
I need thyroid surgery. They stopped my thyroid from growing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I need the cataract surgery. I don't want to go blind, but I can't afford the laser treatment. And I can't have them dig into my eyes. I will have a stroke. And I will have infections in my eyes.
Yeah. Do you have a regular doctor to talk to about the different concerns that you have?
No, but I had three doctors, and they all said weird things to me. The first one said, oh, don't worry about cataract surgery. They suck it out with a machine. No, they don't. They dig it out with a forceps or a bent needle or goddamn scalpel. And I can't have that stuck in my eye. And no bad things will happen.
Yeah, no, I certainly hear your concern. And I mean, certainly, as I'm sure you know, cataract surgery is, they do it very, very commonly now. And so the more, you know, the more a surgeon does a procedure, the better for the patient, because the less complication rate.
Yeah, maybe you need to see a different specialist and get them to explain to you how they would do your surgery. And maybe that'll put you more at ease. I know a lot of people who've had very successful cataract surgery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know, too. I hear it all the time. Don't worry about it, but I have to.
Okay, thanks for your call, Marilyn. Bye-bye.
Thank you not for listening to me.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay, we've got Wilma in Markham. Hello, Wilma.
Hello.
Hi.
I wanted to ask Dr. Levine if lightheadedness or dizziness is in any way related to the age of a person. Do older people, is it more prevalent in older people?
So the quick answer, Wilma, thanks for the question, is yes. We definitely see that people, there's definitely some difficulties with blood pressure control as we get older. It just gets a bit harder to control. But also, and I think, you know, society in general, we focus so much on high blood pressure, but low blood pressure is actually a significant problem, and it definitely does become a more significant problem as we get older.
All
not,
right.
Obviously not everyone, but some people. And some people actually do come in because, you know, every time they get up, even if they get up slowly, they start to get lightheaded and they may even pass out. And yeah. occasionally we even have to treat them. You know, we all know about anti-high blood pressure medications, but there are some medications that are used that we sometimes have to use for people whose blood pressure is getting too low, and so they're getting lightheaded.
All
and, of
right.
course, that's in conjunction with, you know, making sure to get up slowly, making sure to hydrate very well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But and of course, the first thing is, you know, realizing the trigger. But if it, you know, if it is a significant problem, it's definitely worth getting checked out because it is a recognized entity, just as high blood pressure is a recognized problem.
Zach, are pacemakers used for low blood pressure?
Well, pacemakers are definitely used not so much for low blood pressure, but yet you can have a low blood pressure as a result of an arrhythmia. So if your heart isn't beating properly, if it's too slow, if it's not beating effectively, then yes, you can have low blood pressure as a result of that, and that can make you lightheaded or pass out. And the pacemaker corrects that. And so one of the things I mentioned earlier is, you know, if you pass out suddenly, it can be an irregular heartbeat. And yes, the treatment for that, if you have a significant irregular heartbeat, is often a pacemaker, which will maintain your heart rhythm at a minimum. Usually they set a minimum number of beats per minute, like 60, for example, to make sure that you're getting enough cardiac output, to make sure you're getting enough blood to your brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Wilma, is that your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we only have a couple of minutes left. So what do you want to tell people about, you know, figuring out whether their problem is big or small?
Yeah, so, well, first thing I'll mention is one thing that Marilyn mentioned, I didn't bring it up before, but one of the causes of people feeling unsteady, so when you're walking, you're just not feeling steady, often that happens when you have either a visual difficulty or a hearing difficulty, so if your senses aren't as sharp. So one thing she was mentioning was cataract, so it's worth looking into that. And so, yes, the big distinction we make as doctors is vertigo, is this feeling of moving if you're not, versus lightheadedness. I would say, you know, in order to know if it's sort of life-threatening, which is always the way I think, you know, you look at those other symptoms that I mentioned, the neurological symptoms and or the chest pain or shortness of breath symptoms for the heart. However, you know, if even the peripheral vertigo, which is from the inner ear, it in some people it can be very, very severe. Like some people can barely turn their head and they feel spinning and they start to vomit and they feel just terrible. If that's the case, then it's definitely worth getting it checked out, even if it's, you know, even if it's not life-threatening. If you're not able to function properly, then it's worth looking into it, because all of these things, you know, once we have a diagnosis, we can treat them, even if it's not life-threatening. And if it's affecting your quality of life, it's worth getting checked out for sure.
Okay. Zachary Levine, our house doctor, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Libby. Take care.
Okay. You too. Take care.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.